96.9 FM, live and local, present the on-air chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Zeller and Aaron Harter.
Good morning and welcome to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by CB Financial. Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Is it hot enough out there for you, Steve?
We're going to ask our guest if he brought this weather with him.
That's a good question.
So, yeah, it is miserable. It's making not playing golf not such a bad deal.
I know. Record highs in May are no fun. Record highs any day are no fun, but record highs in May are no fun.
Well, and I was watching Topeka television, and they were worse yesterday. They were 95 yesterday. We just got to like 91 or 92.
Yeah.
Like that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's get started. Trey Cocking, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here.
Welcome to KVOE and to the on-air chat. And is our tradition here, we want to do a little bio work with you. I want to find out where you came from. And I mean, we know you came from Atchison, but I want to know where you really came from, where you went to school, and about your family, anything you'd like to share.
Sure. I guess I can kind of start from the start. I was born in Wichita. My dad was a Wichita police officer. My mom was a nurse at Wesley Hospital in Wichita, so kind of grew up with public service in the veins. We moved to Derby when I was in fourth grade, so I went to Derby High, graduated from Derby High, and after that I went to a little school about 50 miles up the turnpike from here that I've heard I'm not allowed to say their name.
Correct.
without getting in too much trouble. So went there, I was very involved in student government, chief of staff of student government there, and then afterwards I had pretty much the opportunity of the lifetime to go to the George Bush School of Government at Texas A&M. When I went there, former President Bush was 80. He was very involved at that time. You'd be sitting in a class, and pretty soon you get, you know, guy walk in, Secret Service agent, and stand there for a few minutes, whisper into his wrist, and then pretty soon here would come President Bush and his dog, and they'd sit in the back of the class, and he'd kind of wait for an opportunity where the professor would ask a question, and he'd raise his hand and answer the question. So having him and Barbara on campus a lot, they also hosted events about once a month. We had everybody from James Carville, Mary Madeline, Tim Russert, to the president of China that came and spoke to our class. Just unbelievable experience that we had there. Probably the one experience stood out more than anything else was Andy Card was the second Bush's chief of staff. Andy Card was the one who whispered in George H.W. Bush's, "The second tower has been hit," as he's speaking to the school children. We got an opportunity about, I want to say, 15 months after September 11th, where Andy Card came to our class and walked us through September 11th, minute by minute, from his seat right next to the President of the United States through on Air Force One and everything else that day. That's probably the one thing that sticks out from my experience there, was hearing him talk and being that kind of that firsthand witness to history.
How old are you when you're going to Texas A&M?
22, 23.
Okay.
So that was my Texas A&M experience. Not only did I have that great thing, but I got to immerse in that culture, which is Texas A&M, and be part of the rituals and everything else, the traditions that happen there, and watch a lot of great football. After I graduated from Texas A&M, I came back here. I fell in love with a Kansas girl that I met at Washburn. We got married, did a year-long internship in the county manager's office in Sedgwick County. Bill Buchanan, who went on to be the president of the International City Managers Association, fantastic county manager there in Sedgwick County, got to work for him for a year, worked on the Interest Arena project. We took that to the ballot there, so got to be a part of that. I was really felt like I was in the room when the decisions were made on that project, and saw how the county manager operated and how made a big project in downtown Wichita come together. Left there, I went to work for state budget for a year. Probably my least favorite full-time job by a by a long margin. But I worked for state budget, just very slow. You know, after working at the local level where you could solve problems, state's just very slow, very tied to the bureaucracy. So I was there for about a year, and I had a friend who worked for the League of Kansas Municipalities, and I went to lunch with him, and they had a position, like they had insurance, they sold workers' comp insurance, and that position was open at the time, and it would have been a lateral move. So I asked Larry about that position, and he said, Trey, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a city manager one day. Larry looks at me as we're having lunch, and he says, go be a city manager. I was like, it's not that easy. Maybe I'm sharing too many secrets here on the radio, but and we're sitting there, and he's like, Cherryvale and Greensburg, this is Greensburg pre-tornado, they're hiring right now. Go apply for one of them. See what happens. So I went home and talked to my wife, and I think she took a very deep breath and was kind of like, all right, if this was what we got to do, let's do it. Ended up applying for the Cherryvale job, taking the job on a 3-2 vote, which everybody tells you not to take a job on a 3-2 vote. So at 26 years old, I was probably a little naive and jumped in head first and went to Cherryvale. I was there for about 3 years, and Jen and I are at a dinner party one night, and she looks at me and she says, I think I want to go back to school and be a paralegal. And I looked at her and I said, what? How long would it be to be a paralegal? She's like, I would need 36 hours. I was like, why don't you go to law school? So she kind of thought about it, came back, and she ended up going to law school. So got accepted to Washburn. And so I needed to look for a job a little closer to Washburn Law than Cherryvale. So ended up, sometimes there's life, you get these signs in life. So we'd had that conversation that weekend. And then the city manager in Atchison we have a city manager's listserv. He put something out that he was resigning. And I was like, well, there's a Atchison's only an hour from Topeka. So ended up applying for the job in Atchison. I didn't think I was going to get hired. I was 29 at that point. They had just fired a 29-year-old, and I was like, well, there's no chance they're going to hire another 29-year-old. So they end up hiring me. I'm thankful for that. I really love the Atchison community. Great things there. Jen was driving back and forth an hour every day. She was pregnant with our daughter, and she said, hey, if you could find a job in Topeka, I'd appreciate it. So about that point, the League of Kansas Municipalities, their deputy director position opened up. I'd always been interested in working kind of directly with the legislature, working with all the cities in the state. So ended up getting that job as deputy director of the League of Kansas Municipalities. I was pretty happy there. I knew I probably liked being a city manager more than I liked working for the league. But, you know, things were going good. And one day I get a text message from Mark McInerney that he's going to retire. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get back into city management. Emporia's my opportunity.
So we had a good reputation.
Had a good reputation. You know, I'm the eighth city manager since 1947. So, you know, several long tenured city managers in Emporia's history. Just a sterling reputation. Mark has a sterling reputation in the profession. So I knew it was a good opportunity. I knew Rob from when he worked for the school board association, Rob Gilligan. So, you know, just a lot of pieces aligned. You know, post-COVID, where Jen's not going to have to be in the office in Topeka every day, where there's a chance, you know, they have a branch here and she might be able to work out of the branch a little bit, work from home a little bit. It definitely changes the game for us, being able to move here. And, you know, we definitely like the idea of Topeka's a big place. Our house currently is in the Auburn-Washburn School District. So we really like the idea of being in a little bit smaller school district, and if there's problems, hearing about them, being able to talk to the principals and having that direct relationship, and that's something that really appealed to us about Emporia.
Wow. We're visiting with Trey Cocking. He's the relatively new city manager here in Emporia. That kind of takes care of the next question I was going to ask you. What? Tell us something we don't know about you. We just learned a bunch.
You know, and you know, obviously, I think I talk quite a bit about him. But you know, I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old, so they keep me very busy. Trying to think something. I'm an Eagle Scout. That's that random thing.
What about your wife? Is she working for who does she work for? She's a lawyer.
Yeah, my wife's an attorney. She is. She's assistant general counsel for Capital Federal. They have their headquarters in Topeka. You know, I will brag about her a little bit. Miss Reluctant, you know, initially reluctant to go to law school. She ended up graduating third in her class from Washburn Law, editor-in-chief of the Law Journal. She ended up clerking for the Chief Justice of the Kansas Supreme Court after she graduated. So, you know, she has had a terrific legal career and continues to have a terrific legal career. So, and Capital Federal is a great company to work for.
So is she having to commute to Topeka some or?
Yeah, you know, she will, you know, we're still working on what that side of the equation looks like. But I would imagine she's in Topeka 2 or 3 days a week and, you know, here the rest of the time.
All right. Aaron, just a sidelight, and Trey went by it pretty fast, but when he was at Texas A&M and he was at, what, the George Walker Bush?
George Herbert Walker.
Herbert Walker Bush School, who was an ex-president, or is an ex-president. And that's a name drop that probably tops, I would say the best name drop we've had in here was Ken Weaver, the new interim chairman of the, or president of the Teachers Hall of Fame. He had a pro football. I can't remember who it was. Somebody played for Dallas. But an all-pro defensive end.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who it was, too, and I
can't. He had him in his middle school class.
Okay.
So you just topped that, though. So you go to the...
When Secret Service is involved, that's a topper.
Yeah, that had to be pretty interesting. How often did he show up?
Yeah, they were in Houston. So they spent the summers in Maine, in Kennebunkport. And then, you know, pretty much from October through March, April, they were around, you know... They had home in Houston, but they were around almost every weekend around campus. They had used the fitness facility on campus. They had an apartment there with the presidential library and everything. So they were very involved. They were at every home football game and just would be around classes and stuff. The other great experience we got to have with him is this was the run-up to the second Gulf War, the Iraq War invasion. And Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters and that group wanted President Bush, you know, as the former president, as his son was tackling the problems in front of him, they wanted to interview him. Well, for President Bush's mind, he wanted to get asked a bunch of questions before those interviews. So they would invite our class in, and it would just be us and the former president, pretty much no holds bar. You know, we got to ask him any question we wanted. And completely fascinating, and there's definitely some stories he told that I could not tell on the radio. So,
what a neat experience.
Well, and I'm not sure there's many schools that can top Texas A&M for tradition with all this stuff. You weren't a member of the Corps, though.
I was not a member of the Corps. I was a grad student, but we were treated as seniors, so we got, you know, we were usually on the fourth or fifth row for football games. I call them seats. You know, the tradition there is students stand the entire game, except for the little bit of halftime when the band's not on the field. So you stand for the entire football game, you stand while the band's playing, and then for like the, you know, 6-7 minutes after the band's done, that is the only time students are allowed to sit at the game.
I actually went to a game at Texas A&M. It's been a few years ago, obviously. KU beat Texas A&M. I think it was the Orange Bowl year.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool. So... Trey Cocking is our guest. You've told us a little bit, but expound a little bit on what attracted you to Emporia and obviously wanting to get back in as a city manager and your relationship with Mark McInerney, but everything else seemed to align?
Everything else seemed to really align. You know, my parents still live in Derby. Jen's mom lives in Hutchinson, so this, you know, puts us a little bit closer to mom and dad. But as far as the Emporia community, it really does seem to have a lot of great things going for it. And, you know, Emporia has one of the best downtowns, period, in the state of Kansas. Emporia has a phenomenal industrial base that's continuing to grow. Emporia State, you know, having that institution here, Institution of Higher Learning, Flint Hills Tech. I mean, there's just so many pieces, and I see tons of opportunity here. Obviously, there's some things we need to do to put it together and make it work, but I absolutely think Emporia is poised to pop between everything working in its favor right now.
You mentioned that you were familiar or knew Rob Gilligan. I suppose that didn't hurt. You knew Mark McInerney a little better probably, but Rob Gilligan, that was a lure as well?
Yeah, you know, knowing Rob has one of the sharpest minds around, and, you know, I was really looking forward to being able to sit down with Rob and have conversations and just tap into, you know, him being Mr. Emporia. You know, wish Rob the best of luck going forward, and I think the commission found an excellent choice in their replacement of Rob, so I'm looking forward to working with him as well.
Oh, you don't have to say that.
When did you find out about Rob's leaving?
You know, Rob, Rob and I were walking out. We were working on a child care is a big problem, not just for me, but Emporia. Why we were working on a child care project, and we're walking out, and you know, common question I ask commissioners: anything else I need to know about? Just, you know, because sometimes there is. So I ask, you know, I was like, so Rob, any, you know, just kind of anything else I need to know about before I head back to City Hall? Well, actually, Trey, like, what's up? So he told me about the opportunity, and you know, it was a tremendous opportunity for him. I think as we left that conversation after we talked for 30, 45 minutes, you know, I think I told Rob, you know, Rob, this is one of the most personally exciting things that I've ever heard for an individual, this type of opportunity. Conversely, it's, you know, it's not good for me, but I'm not going to hold that against you.
Yeah, so. Great for Rob, terrible for us as citizens of Emporia.
Yeah.
And he's city manager, right?
He's the chamber president.
Okay. Chamber president.
And how large a community is Cape Girardeau?
They're 24, 35?
Yeah, they're
about the same size.
They're a little larger than us.
Okay, before we go to break, I just want a general answer. How is inflation? I mean, obviously the answer is pretty easy, but how is inflation affecting city government? What are you having to deal with?
You know, the thing that keeps me up at night is wage pressures and how we address that. We're about 12% down as an organization on open positions, and most of those open positions are in police and fire. So as we're seeing higher wages, as cities are pushing their fire and police wages up, we're going to have to come up with a plan to compete for that. So, you know, we have people leaving for the Wichita Fire Department. Now, conversely, we've had people come back, but I just think we're going to have to come up with a plan to address wage inflation. And then the other place is just on construction projects. We're just getting hammered with cost increases. We go out to bid, and just prices are going up on everything from steel to concrete, and the lead times are getting longer. So it just not an easy solution, and where we do have a backlog of deferred maintenance capital projects to do, unfortunately, it's not going to get cheaper or faster for us to do in this environment.
Is there any way to attack wages without raising taxes?
You know, I think we're still trying to look at numbers, see where that has to be. Sales tax numbers have been good over the last year. You know, raising property taxes, that always depends on what your answer on raising property taxes is. You know, as valuations go up, what, you know, do we take that valuation increase, or, you know, with the new truth in taxation law that goes into effect this year, we're going to have to send notice if we collect $1 in additional tax revenue. I do not see that we'll be able to keep property taxes flat with the increase in valuation, just because our, you know, everything's going up. You know, we drive a lot, so gas costs are going up, employee costs are going up, capital costs are going up, and electric, I mean, everything we touch, our costs are unfortunately going up in this environment.
Well, maybe that's a good segue. Everything's going up, but the opportunity with Enterprise to lease vehicles, will that result in a savings, you think?
Yes. As we look at those numbers, as they have them projected out, over what we're going to buy, what we have projected to buy, at least through year seven, there's pretty good savings. We start to break even year seven, just as things retire at that point. But, you know, we have a very old fleet.
Very old.
We've kept a lot of vehicles that are around 20 years, 20 plus years. They don't have modern safety equipment in them. Definitely don't have the backup cameras. You know, we've done really well in the public safety vehicles, at least the mainline public safety vehicles, but not as well on some of our engineering, code enforcement, public works vehicles. And the thought, right or wrong, has been when somebody dials 911, something has to happen. If somebody from public works is going out to fix a pothole, the truck breaks down on the way there, we can deal with it. But, you know, it gets to the point that you're just – there's only so much duct tape and baling wire that you can put into a vehicle before you have to make a strategic decision. The enterprise fleet leasing, really what they're trying to get you to do is find that sweet spot. Governments can typically buy vehicles at a very good price through programs that are out there. And lots of times we can sell them 2 or 3 years later for right at what we bought them for, maybe a little more than we bought them for. So it creates a kind of an opportunity to turn over the fleet, to find that sweet spot and have reliable vehicles instead of just having 20-year-old trucks that may or may not work.
So a positive program if it's managed correctly.
Positive program if it's managed correctly. I'm still asking some questions on it. I think there's an opportunity potentially to finance it locally. And then, you know, I still want to sit down. I have a meeting tomorrow with one of the local car dealers to get their take on the program and how they think it works. And those are good questions that we can ask. So we're trying to get that input there for it as well.
All right. Trey Cocking, City Manager of Emporia, is our guest here on the On Air Chat. It's all made possible by Bruce Davis Construction and CB Financial. You're listening to KVOE. We are live and we are local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Congratulations to the graduates of Emporia State University.
Congratulations to all of our seniors.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Best of luck in the future. Live and local.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. And time now for headlines. Being brought to you by IPC, the Insurance Planning Center, an AcroSure agency partner at 726 Commercial, for all your commercial, business, and group health insurance needs. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. Formal charges pending after another chase in and around Emporia. This one happening Monday night, which moved around Emporia. 51-year-old Troy Eastman of Emporia arrested on suspicion of flee and elude and DUI. Formal charges remain pending against Cody Bauer of Fort Collins, Colorado, arrested Monday, and Emporians Vontrez Williams and Zachary Sladen arrested after separate incidents in Emporia on Sunday. Lyon County Commissioners having their action session for the week tomorrow. There's discussions on a milling, surfacing, and pavement project along America's Road north of U.S. Highway 50 is among the lead items. And Flint Hills Technical College having its spring commencement activities here this weekend with nearly 250 students graduating. KVUE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunshine steamy the next couple of days. 91 tying a record today. 91 setting a record tomorrow. And then chances of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night into Friday morning. And then Friday afternoon and Friday night. That's headlines from the 24-hour KVUE newsroom. I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. Currently, we do have a light southeast breeze, sunny skies, 80 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the weather information you need, live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by IPC, the Insurance Planning Center, an AcroSure agency partner at 726 Commercial, next to Jimmy John's, and also in Eureka and Wichita.
Hi, welcome back to the On Air Chat. Steve and Aaron in the house this morning, and Trey Cocking, City Manager of the City of Emporia. How long have you been here?
I started in early December, so I think 5 months now.
Yeah.
If I can do that.
So you're about to the place we don't have to call you new anymore.
Yeah, almost.
You've been busy.
Almost a half year in.
I mean,
it has. We had that Hornet Point fire that first weekend, and it just kind of seems to have ran since then.
So let's talk about housing. It's I know at least one of your commissioners has been pretty involved in trying to figure out what to do. Pretty hard to grow your community or to grow businesses if you don't have anywhere for people to live. What's your take on it?
You know, coming in here, we want to be part of the Emporia community. We are now officially on a contract on a house, but I think we got to look at three houses. I think Jamie and I went and looked at a fourth house after we pretty much knew what we were doing. But so looked at a total of four houses over, pretty much started looking at houses in December when I started. So just not any inventory out there right now. Multiple offers in a lot of cases on the houses that do go on the market. And it's not, it's across, it's apartments. Talking to Corey with Hague Management, right now they're 3 to 4 months out on a new lease. Next time somebody can get into their property. So it's on apartments, it's on single family, it across everywhere. And, one of the conversations I had multiple times is I was looking for a property. I had people come up to me, man, I would sell you my house. And I'd be interested in buying your house, but I don't know where I would go. There's no place for them to move, so it just kind of locks the entire chain moving, because lots of times people will move out of their house and create movement, and there just has not been much movement at all. So it's a rough housing market, and it really, as we're out there, as we're talking to employers on looking at possible expansions, possible new companies relocating to Emporia, it is one of the biggest growth inhibitors is, one, where am I going to find employees? And two, if I do bring employees from outside the community, where are they going to live? And we have to be able to address those questions if we're going to move forward as a community.
So what about city's involvement in the process? I've been involved in a little bit of development business, and it's tough. If you can build and sell houses, it's pretty easy. But there's a little bit of risk involved. I know the city's being asked to take on a little more risk. Are you a proponent of that?
As I look at what other cities have done out there that are successfully building new houses, there's what I call reasonable risk involved by those cities. They're taking those reasonable opportunities to assist developers and create housing for people, but it's going to involve, you want to avoid what happened in Junction City 20 years ago, where they just went in, thought the Big Red One was coming in, they way over increased their existing debt limit, and then they put their city in a place where the Big Red One didn't come in like they thought, where the city was over leveraged. That's not reasonable that was a huge mistake. That was a mistake by Junction City. That was a mistake by the state legislature that let him take those risks. But, you know, should a city have skin in the game? I would answer that where we look at the cities that have been successful, Garden City, Dodge City, Wichita, Andover, they've all had a little skin in the game, and it's probably right for the city to have some skin in the game as we move forward.
And so will we see that in the Kretzinger track, most likely?
You know, we continue to have conversations with them. We have not seen a formal request from them yet on what they would like the city's involvement to be. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if in order to achieve what Kretzinger's going to achieve, I think the city's going to have skin in the game, especially if they want to be at low cost on as low cost product as possible. You know, obviously, if you go out and borrow that money from a bank, the bank's going to get charged a higher interest rate than the city. The city has really low borrowing cost. So just have to figure out where that is and how can you make the housing the most affordable it can be for people.
Okay, we got a caller. Let's go to the Sutherland studio line. Good morning. You're on the on-air chat.
Good morning. Talking about housing kind of popped a couple of questions into my mind. As a retired couple, we have been looking for a place to move for our retirement years. And really finding it difficult to locate anything for that. My other question is, what is going to be done about eucalyptus in Emporia? That is, you know, everybody's don't buy, don't rent from eucalyptus. But when they have what feels like the majority of places in town, it's a really difficult thing. And is the city able to do anything about them? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good questions. Trey?
So to the two questions, I do think senior living needs to be a part of the mix as we address the housing shortage here in Emporia. I think that will create mobility across the classes if we have solid senior living options. So that is something I've been talking about, and that's something I will continue to, as I meet with developers, continuing them to ask them to explore. On eucalyptus, there's where the city really comes in is where we have where they don't meet our housing standards. If they are renting property that doesn't meet our housing standards, absolutely, we can enforce that. Jeff Lynch, who's our community development director, would be the person folks need to reach out to if it doesn't. And just call and ask Jeff. Hey, this doesn't meet our expectations. Is this a violation of the city's code? And if it is, we can jump in and we can start working with it.
But we can't just take the property from them. It's going to be a situation where eucalyptus needs to fix said issues before it's rentable again, but it could just sit there vacant.
Correct. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we are a free market where people are allowed to come in, buy and sell property. Sometimes you get folks owning property that it's not as good for community as other folks owning the property. You know, now I will tell you, if they have a lot of property that sits unrented, you know, that's going to spur them to do something. But, you know, I would ask questions before you sign a lease. Make sure you read the lease. Potentially discuss a lease with an attorney before you just go in and sign, because you're signing a legal document.
Are you aware, does the city have any actions against that company at this point?
I have heard that we do have some pending stuff currently.
Okay. While we're on those kind of questions, let me ask this. Animal control. I see a lot on Facebook about the fact that, I mean, I say fact, I don't know it's a fact, but the suggestion is that we don't have an animal control officer and haven't had for maybe a couple of years.
So that has been a really hard position to hire. A lot of folks ghost us on interviews, not showing up, have different expectations for that position than the police department does. Where we are, the good news is we have two police officers. One of them is a former animal control officer who have agreed to work overtime. So we currently have animal control on a part-time basis, but we do have two police officers who are actively working close to 20 hours every week on animal control. And I really think if you look at Facebook over the last couple of weeks, that has helped to address some of those concerns.
All right. Let's go to economic development. You got a new lead guy there. How's your relationship with Chuck Scott? Is that his name?
Chuck Scott. Chuck and I, seems like we meet probably two or three times a week on different projects. Chuck's out there. The good news is there's a lot moving right now. There's a lot of potential out there. So he's putting Emporia's name out there. The city is there to assist him. At the end of the day, the city is responsible for issuing any of the incentives that go along with these development projects, and sometimes whatever it takes to get them closed, some of those weird things. So as those requests come through, we continue to evaluate them. We put them in front of the city commission and then trying to find out if they're a good deal for the citizens of Emporia.
But it still comes back to housing, doesn't it? I mean, if somebody wanted to come in here with 50 new jobs that would require 40 people from outside to move here, there's literally nowhere. What they say, there's like 32 houses listed for sale?
I think there were 41 the other day, so a little bit of improvement in the housing supply, but still not where we need to be. Are you going to find the house that you need out of those 41 houses? Do we have, up and down the spectrum, do we have those available? But, it's going to come down to, is there anybody, we don't have anybody unemployed in the community, really low unemployment rate, so that's not an option. Do we have houses? That's not an option. We don't have great housing options right now. And then if we do get them here, do we have childcare? And the answer to that one is no as well. So those are the three big areas that we're missing things. Now, I will tell you, I have two or three meetings every week trying to address those big issues and how we solve them, and it's going to require us to be creative on all fronts to make this work.
Talk a little bit about child care. We didn't have that on the list, but obviously that's of great importance to a lot of people.
Great importance. It is a personal pain. We felt we started, I think, in December, reaching out to places, really looking at the summer, trying to get our kids down here this summer, and pretty much I got told, no, we're not even, I'll put your name on the list, but there's not a good chance. The city did have a grant opportunity through the American Rescue Act money that came in. So we offered $750,000 in grants. Emporia Child Care did receive $150,000 of that funds to increase wages. They have been able to hire two or three additional folks for their operation. I believe they've opened one or two classrooms, so that's a small step. I think we have close to a need for 700 child care openings in the community right now. We're not even...
That's vacancies. I mean, that's what we need.
That's kids that need child care.
So in a lot of cases, what happens, it adds to our other problem, is now... So child care, where we've set child care as a society, right or wrong, it is 100% parent paid. So we have a model where mom and dad are paying child care. If you start to have more than one kid, it gets really expensive really quick to have kids in child care. So lots of times, mom or dad will stay home, which is great. They're with their kids, but then that's also one less person who's available for the workforce. Or it could be like my wife and I, we both really need to go to work, and we love being with our kids on the weekend, but, we're always grateful when they go to school during the week. So, we need those opportunities.
Visiting with Trey Cocking, city manager, city of Emporia, and we've covered a lot of areas, and we've got a little time left to cover some more. But I want to, before we leave child care, you said the need is somewhere in the neighborhood of 700. How many do you know what the number that have child care is?
I don't know. Chuck Scott's been working on that, and I can get those numbers for you.
Okay.
For you folks on how
but
many.
But it's probably two or three times 700, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big need. And, it's Lyon County-wide. It's not just Emporia. And I know there's some innovative solutions out there, but it's a huge need.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break, get our second break in, and I will give you the opportunity, Trey, to either share with me during the break or bring them up when we got what haven't we talked about, what's important to you in the final 10 minutes that we'll have. This is the On Air Chat. You're listening to KVOE, and we are live and we are local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email KVOE at KVOE.com, and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines being brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Feed your hunger, quench your thirst, and watch all the big games at Bruff's. Now open 11 till 2 on Sundays and closed on Mondays. That's Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18. Now for the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Greg Gray.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning. Another bad first inning for the Kansas City Royals last night as the Texas Rangers scored 3 runs in the first inning. Never trailed on the way to a 6-4 victory over the Kansas City Royals last night. The Royals did score 3 runs in the seventh inning as they tried to put together a rally. Michael A. Taylor and Whit Merrifield each drove in a run with a single, and Nicky Lopez drove in a run when he hit into a force out. Royals and Rangers play again tonight. First pitch set for 7:05. You can hear the game here on KVOE. Our coverage starts at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05. Emporia High Girls Soccer team was shut out by Topeka Hayden 5-0 last night. Lady Spartans fall to 6-9 on the season. Have one more regular season match left. They'll play at Topeka High on Thursday. Two Emporia High seniors signed with colleges to continue their academic and athletic careers. Brooke Souter signed to play golf at Hutchinson Community College. Evelyn Geronimo signed to wrestle at Ottawa. They held signing parties yesterday. Kansas head men's basketball coach Bill Self and University of South Carolina head women's basketball coach Don Staley, winning coaches of the 2022 NCAA Division I Basketball Championships, received the Wing Foot Award at the New York Athletic Club last night. The Wing Foot Award is among the most prestigious in the world of collegiate basketball and honors the winning coaches of the men's and women's NCAA National Basketball Championships. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Feed your hunger, quench your thirst, and watch all the big games at Bruff's. Now open 11 till 2 on Sundays and closed on Mondays. That's Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th.
All right, welcome back. The final section of on-air chat. Steve and Aaron and Trey Cocking, city manager of the City of Emporia, is with us. And we're going to go through a number of topics. New communications manager. Tell us what's up there.
Yeah, we're excited. Christine Johnson is going to be starting with us on the 23rd. This has been one of the biggest holes I've seen in the organization is just our ability to get out, let citizens know really why we're doing stuff. I think that's been the biggest question is why do we do something? Why are 6th Street and 12th Street torn up at the same time? Why do we do this with snow removal? Why do we do that? And that's what I'm hoping to be able to have communications manager in place to answer those questions, to make sure we're answering those questions and putting out good messages. Christine's coming from Lyon County 911. She's done a great job as our communications manager, and I think she'll do great things for us as organizationally wide moving forward.
All right, number two on the list, you said splash pad. Talk about
Splash Pad. I am hoping to have a big announcement later this week. So I can't announce it later today when it's opening, but I'm hoping that we have a big announcement later this week on the Splash Pad opening.
Okay, well, we'll hold you to that. You mentioned 12th and 6th Avenue being torn up at the same time. What about infrastructure?
Yeah.
I think it's, even though it's maddening to have to negotiate those, I think it's one of the strong points from the city of Emporia is that at least got money to do it.
Yeah, you know, we've taken advantage of some state funding, state revolving loan funding to do these water projects. Everybody's going to remember the boil orders, 2017, I believe 2019. We need to be proactive with our water lines to prevent this from happening. We got hit where supplies came in at the same time for both projects, and they were ready to go. Not ideal, but, you know, both streets are highly navigable. I drive down 6 at least once a day. I would definitely urge folks to go down, visit businesses that are on 6. They really do need your support right now, but it's completely easy. You just have to, you know, either come from Prairie or come from the other direction. It's really easy to figure out. But continue to visit your favorite businesses on 6th Street. They need your support right now, and the construction is not that hard to deal with.
And, of course, we're not worried about snow removal today, but you've got some movement in that area. Maybe it'll be better the next time?
We do. My hope is that we can get better at that. You know, we got, you know, some bad luck, good luck this year. It snowed every Thursday, it seemed like. So as it snowed on Thursdays, we got to get better at it, experience it more, let our operators handle it. I will tell you that we sent our public works director and our street director, we sent them to the big snow convention. There's a snow convention. We sent them there so that they could get more hands-on, so that they could figure out how we can be better at snow, and that's my expectation, is that we do get better at snow removal.
Some continuing ed.
Yes. You know, learn. I mean, it's a process, and there's some folks up north who do a really great job with snow removal, and if we can learn a thing or two from them, hopefully it translates well to Emporia.
Well, and if you're willing to pay for it, it's not that hard, but we complain about taxes more than we complain about snow.
And that, you know, that's always the trade-off. You know, at the end of the day, we can have it looking like it's the 4th of July right after it snows, but there's a definite trade-off for that. You know, are we willing to be inconvenienced 4 or 5 times a year? That's always the question that we have to ask. And, you know, how do we get it passable for emergency vehicles, emergency routes, and then how do we make it work with the smallest impact on the community's tax base?
Trey, you've been city manager in 2 other cities. Have you, do either one of them come close to closing their main street, commercial street, for events like Saturday? We had it closed on the 400 block and also closed, I think, in the 800 block with Cinco de Mayo and the grind. We close commercial street a lot.
You know, I think it is great recognizing that those streets can be closed down from time to time and open to businesses the rest of the time. Atchison engaged in a 50-year experiment where they closed down Main Street altogether. They put a park in the middle of it. They called it a mall, and it was closed 24/7 for about 50 years. That 50-year experiment came to end about 2 years ago. They still shut it down for the events, but have it open the rest of the time. So I think these events are absolutely fabulous for the community. I was here for the Dynamic Disc Block Party. To be part of those events, to see your community highlighted on a national basis, I think it's absolutely worth it to have those events from time to time and celebrate the great things that happen here.
Well, there's no doubt they're great events. In an area that's, well, you talked about it a little bit, but wages 12.5% below the going rate, is that about right?
Well, you know, our wage, we haven't done a wage study yet. We know that we're 12.5% short on employees right now of our authorized positions. We are down 12% of our authorized positions. We don't have those filled right now. In some cases, it's finding people who are trained EMTs, trained paramedics. Finding somebody who wants to be a police officer is tough right now. And, you know, I do not think we're competitive. If you're a new EMT, new paramedic, you want to be a firefighter. If you're flexible, and where can I, you know, where can I get the highest wage? Or, you know, they look at those wages as they're coming in, and we're trying to recruit those. We've done really well growing our talent locally, but, you know, as we try to augment some of that locally grown talent with folks from out of Emporia, how can we be competitive with that? And I think that's important.
So we're 12% open.
Correct.
Not 12%.
Not 12%.
So how do we do competitive-wise and what we can pay them?
You know, we have not studied that. What we've seen is, I would guess, we're probably 10 to 20% down from where we need to be depending on position. You know, and in some cases, I will tell you, you know, we're starting police officers at $18.97 an hour. The city of Wichita, now they're the high end, but they just said that they're going to start at $25 an hour. Now that trickles down where all of a sudden surrounding communities around Wichita are probably pretty close to that. You know, you're seeing outlying $23, $24 an hour, and we're at basically $19 an hour. So we have a ways to go on getting competitive for those law enforcement positions.
And I think the question, Steve, is where do you want to fall on that scale statewide? Obviously, we know we can't be the highest paid police force, but do we need to be in the top 50 now if we're sitting at 65 or something like that?
I'd say you need to find police officers who like to ride on gravel or throw discs.
Agreed.
Could work. Hey, what about last thing from me? Fire station, we need a new one?
Fire station, I would say from a physical plant look at the city of Emporia, is probably one of our weakest positions, especially Station 1. The quarters are not comfortable for the firefighters, not that they have to be luxurious or anything like that, but they are just not functional for the firefighters. Equipment is stuffed in there, barely a height to get fire trucks or anything. In fact, the last fire truck we ordered had to be lowered in order to get it into that building. It's just... That building was built in 1941 for firefighters who look a lot different than our firefighters today, for equipment that looks a whole lot different than our firefighting equipment today. So
does that mean a complete relocation probably of number one?
I think we are probably looking at building a new station number one at the end of the day. I think if we got into modifying the existing building, it would get more expensive quickly than building something new.
How quickly are we going to see action on that?
You know, we want to start having conversations here quickly. We want to involve the county. I know the county has some needs. We want to make sure that we're working together with the county on their needs, our needs. Obviously, we're going to have to be close to where Station 1 is now for our insurance service office rating, our ISO rating, which determines our fire rate, which determines everybody's insurance rates. So finding the right spot of ground to make it all work is going to be the challenge, but I think it's something we can do. And, you know, ideally, this time in 2 years, I think I want to see something moving in the ground at that point.
2 years?
2 years, not open, but, you know, definitely beams going up and that stuff at that point, which is a short time in this business, quite frankly.
There you go. Trey Cocking, thanks for joining us. It's been interesting. Don't be a stranger. We'll get you back.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. And CB Financial, retire happy, retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th Avenue. The Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
AM 14.